2 Corinthians chapter number 6. This will be our last week in biblical separation. We've been in there for a couple of months. Kind of just recap today everything that we've learned over the last couple of months. And hopefully many of you, and like myself, the Lord has pointed out some things in your life maybe that you could stand to be a little bit more biblically separated. I think if we were all to be honest, we could say that I could stand to be a little more biblically separated from this world. I certainly know I can, and I hope that the Lord has spoken to your heart through this study as He has spoken to mine. But let's recap today pretty much everything that we've learned over the last couple months. Look at a few scriptures, and we'll pray and go into our next hour. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 17. The Bible says, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye what, church? Separate, saith the Lord." So who is it that commands us to be separate? Is it the preacher that preaches it every Sunday, or is it God that commands us as Christians to be separate? A lot of people get the idea. See, I grew up, and there's one thing I did not like. I did not like coming to church, and I'll tell you why I didn't like this. I didn't like it when I was living in sin that I knew was against a holy God. I hated sitting in the pew and listening to a preacher tell me I could not do something when really and truly all he was doing was preaching the truth of the Word of God, and God is the one that commands us to be separate, not the preacher. The preacher's only trying to relay a message from heaven to you. And listen, don't be like me. Don't get mad and angry at the preacher. Don't get mad and angry at your Sunday school teachers, at your parents, at the people that are just trying to beg you to do right. God expects us as Christians to be different from the lost and dying hell-bound world. Is everybody okay with that? God does expect difference out of His people. "Come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." So the past few weeks we focused on living differently than we used to, being different by design. It was not your design, but it was God's design to make you different. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things, what, church? Are become new. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. David prayed that. We should wake up every day and ask God to create in us a clean heart, because I guarantee you, when you get down to the nitty-gritty of things, there's something that you could stand to be better at. You could be a little bit more spiritual. You could read a little bit more Bible. You could pray a little bit more. You could be a little better of a husband. You could be a little better of a wife, but only with the help and obedience to God our Father is the only way that's going to happen. We are different by design. I like that old song, "Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be." Folks, I don't know about you, but I am thankful that I did not become who the devil wanted me to become. And I'm just one bad decision away, by the way, from becoming who the devil wants me to be. None of us are exempt because we're sitting in a church pew on Sunday morning for Sunday school. You're one decision away from ruining your life. It could happen just now. It could happen tomorrow. It could happen this afternoon. Men and women are sitting all in churches today who will be in a divorce court next month. All over the place, it's happening. The devil wants your home. Amen? The devil wants your home. And if you give him a little bit, he's going to take a lot. You heard your parents say it when you were little. I give you an inch, you take a what? A mile, right? I heard that a lot growing up. I'm like, man, you should have never gave me the inch, you know? And I probably would have never took the mile. But look, we are different by design. And staying different, instead of starting out godly and clean and ending up filthy, living like the world around us. Do you know God doesn't just, the Bible says, old things are become new. Folks, that's not a temporary are. That's a permanent R. God did not make you different just the day you were saved and then tomorrow expect you to go back and be different again and live like the world again. You ought to permanently be different. Now, we know that we're always going to be with sin, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But look, it's not possible for us to live sinless. But I told you this, we should sin less and less because we are different. Amen? You should strive to sin less and less. Look at the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter number 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. In verse 22, We're talking about not returning to the world. The Bible says, but it has happened unto them according to the proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit. What's that next word? Again. And the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Listen, folks, God pulled you out of a wicked, vile, sin-filled, hell-bound, hell-deserving state is what he pulled you out of. And when he saved you from that, he did not do that for you to just take what we... See, here's the problem. A lot of people think we are free to sin. Christians all across our country, all in the... I mean, the Baptist church is full of them. We're not free to sin, folks. We are free from sin because of what Jesus has done for us. We do not have a free will to go and do as we please. Now, are we still going to die and go to heaven? Yes, but look, you didn't just get salvation for a get-out-of-hell-free card. That's not what it's all about. You're missing out on the joy. David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You remember David, a man after God's own heart, sat on a rooftop one day and looked and lusted after a lady that was some other man's wife named Bathsheba. And later in life, David lost not one child, not two children, but three children because of his sin. And David said, oh God, would you just restore unto me the joy of thy salvation? Well, how did that joy get restored? You know what? David had to repent from his wicked ways. David had to learn that living in sin and shame and on purpose choosing to do wrong was not going to get the joy back. He had to repent and give his sin back to the Lord. Folks, that's where we need to get. We need for God to restore the joy of our salvation. We need some Christians who will decide that being a Christian is not boring. It's a fun thing to be a Christian. It's a fun thing to come to church. It's a fun thing. You know, something I liked yesterday, I pulled up out here. And the Coopers were having their family reunion, and you can just tell they're a happy family. And I'm not bragging on you. I'm just telling you what I saw. I see smiles across their faces, little kids playing together, didn't hear no bickering back and forth. It was good to see. You know where the foundation of all that is, folks? That's Jesus. That's how God designed that to be. You know, I like it when you come across a family and they smile, and they want to be around people, and they want to talk, and they want to communicate, but man... What about those of us who can't smile or won't smile or won't communicate? Folks, you need your joy restored. And the only way to do that is for you to give up what is taking your joy. See, the devil loves to steal that joy away from you. You know what joy means? It means Jesus, others, and then you. But see, we try to spell it backwards. You, others, Jesus, right? That don't work like that. If you're going to have joy in your life, you're going to have to put him first. Then you're going to have to put others before you. And you come last. That's hard to do, isn't it? It's hard for me. I certainly know it's hard for you as well. Biblical separation is a part of the Bible that so many dare not teach because it is offensive to people, even Christians. People don't want anyone telling them not to do something or to live differently. How many like to be told what to do? Nobody likes that, do you? Nope. God is a God of separation. It is a good kind of separation, a holy and righteous separation. There his people ought to be gladly separated from the evil things of this world. Being a separated believer for the cause of Christ is an act of obedience. There's no middle ground. Either we are or we are not. Here's a question. If God were to pin a label on you right now, would it read obedient / separated, or would it read disobedient / unseparated? Because here's the thing. The only separated you're guaranteed is that you're not going to go to hell. The rest of it is on you, folks. God did his part. You, by faith, trusted in Jesus Christ and believed on the name of the Son of God. The Bible says, thou shalt be what? Saved. God did his part for you. It's up to you to be and live a biblically separated life. You can die in sin and shame and go to heaven. Because of why? Because of what God has done. Or you can live a joyful, victorious Christian life and love being a Christian and love going to church and love being a wife and love being a husband and love being a mom and love being a dad and love being a child obedient unto your parents. If you just will submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Amen. This is an area that you can and you must control. Moving pretty quickly, I like it. We have learned to be fundamentally different from the world around us, set apart, sanctified, dedicated to God alone. What does that mean to be fundamentally different? Well, what that means, I was talking to a guy this week. They were asking me, what does this fundamental mean? Well, it means this right here is what separates us, folks. We're fundamentals because we believe the King James Bible to not only be preserved, which God did preserve His Word to us as English-speaking people. I dare you to go tell me, well, it's not the original. Well, you can't read the originals, and neither can I. Aren't you glad that God knew that we couldn't do that and gave us a preserved Word? Aren't you thankful God's that big? You know, He preserved it for us. It's infallible. It's inerrant. It's inspired. And look, it's without error. There's no mistakes. That is what separates the fundamentalist from the rest of everybody else. We believe the King James Bible, and it is our final authority, and we are okay with that. Amen? That is who we are. We got to put some space between us and the world we live in. We as Christians, we're not weird. Remember we talked about this, but we are different by design. A special kind of different. A peculiarity that is godly and clean and pure and wholesome and Christ-like. I wonder if we were to go on your job site and we were to say, hey, give me the testimony of Brother Drew. What would those that don't see you in church on Sunday say about you? Folks, I've lived this. I told you there was one time I was working. I was a youth pastor and I was doing something I shouldn't be doing, and I just so happened to work with one of the dads that did not go to my church or our church, but his kids were in our youth group, and he comes up to me and says, hey man, aren't you supposed to be a youth pastor? And right then and there, Brother Tim, I knew I messed up. See, I was thinking, oh well, I'm not around the church people, I'm not around my wife, I'm not around my kids. And it wasn't even something that was just off the wall. It was just something that really and truly I had made an excuse. And I'm like, well, I'm doing it, and it ain't hurting nobody else. I'm not offending nobody else. It ain't nothing against my family. But really and truly what it was, it was something that I was putting into my life that I was using it as a stress reliever. Some of you can put two and two together. I used to love tobacco. Okay, I'm just being honest with you. I love the stuff. And my excuse was, well, you don't understand working around a concrete crew 12 hours a day. You just don't understand. It's very stressful. You're in charge of six or seven guys, and sometimes they show up to work, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they just want to cock off at the mouth, and they just want to be smart alecks. And I'm telling you, I was like, man, I got to have some relief. But here's the deal. Did God clearly state in His Bibles, casting all your cares upon who? Him, for He careth for you. And really and truly, I wasn't doing anything against my family that I knew of. But here's what I was doing. I was substituting a worldly thing for what God could take care of clearly for me. And folks, whenever He came to me and said, don't you preach against that? I said, yeah. So He said, well, why do you do it? I said, that's a good question. I probably shouldn't do that anymore. And that day, February 2nd, 2015, I walked out. We worked in between two rivers. I took that can and I threw it in the river. And I never touched it again. Now again, I'm not trying to condemn you. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm just telling you what my testimony was. It was hurting my relationship with the Lord because I was trusting in something carnal. I was trusting in something worldly. And really and truly, it was doing my body harm. It really was. I did that stuff for 15 years. I started at age 9. I used to steal it out of the freezer from my dad. He used to keep logs of it in the freezer. I'm not going to tell you how I really and how it got going from there, but look, I'm just telling you, I started that stuff at a young age, and I was addicted to it, and I liked it. But folks, did that make it right? No, it wasn't right. I was using it in place of what God had intended me to do, and I'll tell you something. Shortly after that, I still had a real bad problem. I love. My flesh loves country music. I love it, but let me tell you something, it's wicked. So don't get your hopes up. I'm not going to tell you, oh, preacher said we could look. No, I didn't. That stuff's wicked. There ain't nothing godly about it. Nothing. It's good to my flesh, right? But in this flesh dwelleth what? No good thing. Amen? Everybody all right? I know we're in South Alabama, but look, I was born and raised here. I love that stuff. But here's the deal. It's against God. God's not for that. And, you know, shortly after I threw that can in, the Lord started convicting me and said, you know, Drew, you've given up that. You know, the Bible says to abstain from all appearance of evil and, you know, that sin that so easily besets you. Well, I got rid of that. I'm like, okay, God, good. We're good. He's like, no. You know there's something else in your life you need to take care of. I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, you know that music you put in your ears every day at work that you won't take home because your wife and kids, you preach against that stuff. You all okay? I told you when somebody says, hey, I can't go to church with hypocrites, just tell them there's room for one more. Right? Come on now. It's all right. We all sinners. Amen? Every one of us. I'm just telling you my story. And then the Lord said, hey, you need, if you're going to get all in, you got to be all in. 99% right is 100% wrong. Okay? So he began to convict me about my music. And I'm like, well, Lord, it's just music. I mean, come on. He said, yeah, but how's it honoring me? Is really singing about alcohol and smoking and drugs and fornicating and adultery, is all that about me? Folks, that's carnal. That's worldly. That's all devil-related traits. And I came to the quick conclusion. I said, okay, here's what I'm going to do. Because I'll be honest, I was very slow to commit to stopping because I didn't want to make a promise that I couldn't keep. Now, with the chewing thing, I threw that thing in the river, and I promised right then and there I'd never touch it again. And to be honest, I asked the Lord to take that desire away, and he did. But I said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this in 24-hour increments. I said, I'm going to get on my Pandora, and I'm going to eliminate everything that's bad on there tonight. And tomorrow, I'm not going to listen to any country music. Well, I made it through that day. I said, okay, I'm going to try it again tomorrow. Made it through that day. Wednesday morning, I walk in the shop, and guess what's blaring on the radio? And I start singing. I'm like, oh, good. And I'll be honest, here's what happened. I turned my Pandora on, put it back in there, put it in my ears, and off to my equipment I went. Folks, it was a while. It was a struggle. It really was. I'm telling you, you're not alone in this thing. You're not the only one that struggles with stuff. I'm standing here as your pastor telling you what I struggle with. It took me almost 6 months to fully stop listening to country music. And sometime around the end of 2015, I committed and I stopped and I got rid of it and I gave that stuff to the Lord. And I'm so thankful I did, because I would spend 10, 11, 12 hours a day on equipment sometimes listening to just worldly things. But here's the thing, with every bad thing that you get rid of, the best way to do it is to replace it with something good. So a preacher friend of mine said, hey Drew, do you have this app called Sermon Audio? I said, no, I don't. He said, well, get it on your phone. He said, you can type in any preacher. I mean, you can make sure they're biblically sound. You know what we believe. He said, start listening to preaching. So he challenged me, and I'm going to tell you something. The day I started listening to preaching, from the time I got up, and I mean, I had a lot of time at work. I could have my headphones in wherever I was at, and I would listen sometimes to 5 and 6 messages a day. And folks, what goes in is going to come out. Amen? I didn't find it very hard to not listen to country music anymore, because when the Word of God was getting spilled into my heart, the Bible says, you know, faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the what? Word of God. So naturally, every time I listen to the Word of God, whether I like it or not, every time I hear it, my faith is increasing. And folks, it's real. These preachers would be preaching, and I'd find myself sometimes, instead of up there singing about ungodly things, I'd find myself tearing up just all by myself. And I could feel the presence of the Lord in those machines with me. And I had some of the best times right by myself with just me and the Lord. But folks, I had to give up some things that I loved. I had to choose that I was going to be different. God gave me the ability with His Holy Spirit to be different. It's up to me to put that thing to work. Amen? I'm just telling you where your preacher was. We learned why we should live separate from this world. You look at Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. We'll look at these three scriptures. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. Say amen when you find it. You're going to love this one. Who said that? You want to read that for us, Miss Michelle? You know why we should be different? Because we belong to God. Amen? Someone find 1 Peter 2:9. First one that says amen, you get to read. 1 Peter 2:9. Amen. Go ahead, Miss Amanda. Can you read verse 10 also? But the contact are not a people, but are now the Hey, you know why we should be different? One, because we belong to God. Two, because God is holy. Amen? Number three, one more scripture here. Revelation 4:11. See who can find that one first. Like sword drills. Takes me back to my...
Amen.
Amen. You got it, Brother Tim? Amen. You know, we should live holy because we belong to God, because God is holy, and because we cannot live in two worlds. You know, the Bible teaches a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I'm going to tell you, folks, just those two things I was telling you about today, and trust me, there were many more through the years that I had to come to realization, Brother Kevin, that was like, look, this shouldn't be in my life. Many, many times I had to choose, if I'm going to stay married, I got to get rid of this stuff. If I'm going to even have a chance at being a good dad, I've got to do better. I've got to eliminate some of these carnal, sin-filled, and the devil was behind it all. And it was my choice. See, God's not going to make me get rid of that stuff, right? He's just not. He gives me the ability to make the decision to discern good and evil. He can say, hey, that's wrong. There's no white, you know, it's black or white, right? Right or wrong. There's no gray areas with God. He gives me the ability to say, hey, you shouldn't have that in your life. Now, what I do with what he tells me is up to me. I had to choose to be different. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You think about that. If you're choosing to keep sin in your life, and the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in how many ways? So can I fully pull out the potential to be the best husband I can be with knowing, living in willful sin? Can I? I cannot do that. Because why? Because I'm he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Amen? So when God says, hey, you have something in your life that you need to get rid of, I have a choice to make. Repent, turn away from that, give it to the Lord. And here's the thing. Here was the trick for me. I sat through some counseling, and I'll be honest, it was tough. The whole country music thing was, I don't know why it was so hard for me. I believe it's this. I believe music, and I'm just telling you what I believe. I know Satan, he was a musician. I think music is the devil's greatest secret weapon. I have a message that I'm going to preach in a few weeks on music. I hope you can make it for that. But I believe it has such a stronghold on many, 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 many people's lives with music. And, you know, I had to ask God to take the desire away from me. I literally had to say, God, can you please just not even give me the desire to want to listen to that? Anywhere I go, can you please just not let that music be on in this shop? Can you please not let that music? I mean, listen, I'd walk through the grocery store, folks, and a song would come on, and immediately I'd start singing those songs. And my flesh would like it. There were many times we'd be walking through like Walmart or something, you know, or Safeway in Seward. We didn't have a Walmart in Seward, but Safeway. And I'd be singing a song and Chris would be like, what are you singing? Like, stop. Stop singing that. Just don't do that. And I'm like, oh, you know, but she was right. Folks, she was right. I should not be preaching one thing and singing another. Amen. Just wasn't right. I was a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We learn how to live separate without going out of this world. How do we do that? Well, we do it by choice. It's your choice to live separate. God's choice was to draw you and I close to him. We saw that in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6 through 8, if you're wanting to write that down. Our choice must be to draw close to him. The Bible says, draw nigh to God and he will what? Draw nigh to you. You find that in James 4. And how else? By constant cleansing. And how do we get cleansed? We repent. And by fearing God, look at 2 Corinthians 7, 1. 2 Corinthians 7, 1. How can we do this without going out of this world? 2 Corinthians 7, 1 says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from what? All filthiness of the flesh and what? Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And look, I'm not talking about being scared of God. Because God is not somebody up there that's waiting to chop your head off every time you do wrong. Folks, God sent his only begotten son to die for you. And he does hate sin. But oh, how he loves the sinner. And folks, when you come to God, that's not what the fear of God is. It's not talking about being scared to go to him. That's what the devil wants you to believe. You probably had the devil lie to you before and say, well, you know God knows what you've been doing. If you go in there and confess that, he's going to be pretty upset with you. Folks, listen, he already hates sin. Amen? His son Jesus had to die for sin. He has the right to hate every single sin that ever has been and that ever will be. But folks, when we understand and fear God and realize that without him, we are nothing. We're absolutely nothing. Without him, we're nothing but hell-bound, hell-deserving sinners. Amen? And without his way that he made with his only begotten son, Jesus, where would we be today? Lost and hopeless. It would be good for all Christians to know the joy of living a life dedicated to glorifying the God who loves them and gave himself for them. How many of you have enjoyed this study on biblical separation? I've enjoyed it. The Lord's convicted me, and I hope that you have. We'll start a new study next week. I'm going to just make this quick announcement about tonight. I'll announce it again in the next hour. But tonight, we're going to switch things up a little bit. The services will be at the same time. But what I want you to do, since we're not having a midweek service, and everybody knows this week is Thanksgiving, right? So tonight, I want you, or this afternoon when you go home, don't come back, or don't not come back because of this. But the Lord has kind of prompted me to lay it on your hearts to just think back over the last year or a few years and come back tonight with a testimony. You don't have to come up here. You can do it from your seat. But I would love everyone, if you could, if you don't mind, come back with a testimony of something that you are thankful for. I think it would be good for us as a church to hear each other's testimonies. I'll give you what I'm thankful for. I could stand up here for hours and tell you what I'm thankful for. But tonight, I want to take that time. We'll sing a couple songs, have a couple specials, and I'm ready to preach if I have time. If not, if it's just testimony time, then guess what? I would love for us as people to be able to testify together how good God has been to us. Amen? So come back tonight with something that you're thankful for. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this morning, this Sunday school hour. Thank you, Lord, for prompting us and giving us the ability to be biblically separated. Lord, bless us in this next hour in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You are dismissed.